Okay, we are up to the end of, we're up to Perek Lamed Vav. But before we do Lamed Vav, we have to do the Mitsudos and the Rashis of Perek, of the second half of Perek Lamed He. So in that way we'll be able to review a little bit of the story in more detail. So let's pick it up from Perek Lamed He in the Mitsudos, starting with Pasuk. The beginning of the battle from Megiddo, Pasuk Yud Yutes, I believe it was. So yeah, B'shmona Esrei Shana L'Malchus. Yeah, okay, Yud Ches. Okay, Yud Ches. L'Nasa Pesach Moke. Okay, fine. No, we did that Rashi. We did it. It's a very long Rashi. We did that one. So Yutes. Let's start from Yutes. Let's take a look at the Mitsudos from Yutes, the end of the Perek. Yutes. Okay, so Pasuk Chaf then. Pasuk Chaf. Asher Heichin, so Pasuk Chaf tells us that after Yoshiyahu did, after he prepared the entire Klal Yisrael, brought this communal Karim Pesach, and he prepared the Bayis. As we mentioned yesterday, the word Asher Heichin appears in this parak numerous times, and that really gives an emphasis to the role of Yoshiyahu, at least according to one interpretation, that his role was to prepare Klal Yisrael for the Churban that was coming. Asher Heichin, Asher Hemid Dvar HaBayis Al Mechono, he established the Beis HaMikdash on its foundation, Uvis Siso, and its support, two different words which mean the same thing, Behamodas HaMishmaros Chayotze Bo, Chayotze, and he appointed the Kohanim into their positions to make sure the Mikdash is fully functional. Necho, who is Necho? In Sefer Melachim, he's known as Paro Necho. Paro Necho, v'chinema v'lochem beis, al peras. He wanted to go wage war against the king of Ashur in Karkemish. What's Karkemish? It's al peras. The Pasuk says it was near the Euphrates, samuch l'nahar peras, which is in the east. Okay, nahar peras is already coming near Bavel. That's the area of Bavel. He never made it that far because Megiddo is in the middle. Megiddo is in between Mitzrayim and Nahar Peros. Pasuk of Aleph. Maliv Loch. So what happened? Yoshio says to Paranecho. Paranecho says to Yoshio, Yoshio, why are you trying to prevent me from waging war, from entering? We have nothing to fight about. This is not about me and you. Maliv Loch. Mali Olecha. What do I have against you? Why would I want to wage war against you? Umalucholai. Why would you want to wage war against me? We have nothing, no conflict between us. V'chi oivim anachnu ze lo ze. Lo yolecha. Today, I'm not coming to wage war against you. The Omer Atem, the word Atem here is superfluous. L'tosefes Beir is just to add some padding to elaboration to this pasuk. El Beis Mulchamti, the only reason why I want to pass through your limits is I want to go to my battlefield. El Mekoy Mulchamti, v'hu al Melech Ashur, Elokim Omar Leva Haleni Ulai. So according to the Mitsudos learns what Elokim is Lashon Kodesh, and he's telling us that in the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's coming to wage war. Ulai Shama Mipi Yirmiyah B'Devar Hashem Lamar Leches Bebahola El Ashur. Yirmiyah told him that if you quickly make your march towards Karkemish, you will succeed. That's why he used Leva Haloni in the Megillah. They were swift to bring Haman. I was told that I must do this quickly. Chadalcha mi Elokim, Ratzu Lomar. Chadalcha, desist. Mi lochem im Elokim asher imi. Do not fight with God that is with me. Ucho oimer, like he said before, halo mipi Hashem ani hilich. I am going in the name of Hashem. Yirmiyahu, in the name of Hashem, told me that I can do this. V'im kein hu imi, v'im ta'akev al yidei mamleche, al yodai. If you prevent me from traveling, it's considered as if you're rebelling against Hashem. Ki'ilu tilcham imo, against Hashem. L'zev, therefore, chadal l'cho v'lo yash chisecho ho'elokim. So here he's something very powerful to Mitsudos. The yash chisecho is now referring to himself, yash chisecho elokim. V'al yash chisecho, may Hashem not destroy you. If you die, you have no one to blame but yourself. Your God will have killed you because I am marching, I am going to war in the name of Hashem. However, Pasuk Chabez v'lohesev v'lohesev panav mimen v'chudeli lochim bo shina bide hamlucha. Then it says that he was hischapes. He disguised himself. Okay, he disguised himself. He put on battle gear. He did not listen to what Paro said in the name of Hashem. Again, the same thing again in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Yirmiyah. What happened? He died. Vayayru hayayrim, the archer shot. Hamoyrim bakeshes yoyru bachitzim, the archers through their bows shot arrows. Haviruni, he was injured. He told his soldiers, transport me to the field hospital. Haviru oisi min hamerkava hahi ki naasesi choyle me'oid v'koshli lirkoiv bava. It's hard for me to ride in this chariot. Then what happens? They took him alarecha mishra, took him to the secondary chariot, hashen, hashniya, ha'hileches eitzel merkavto, ha'noicha yoyse lirkoiv bava. For some reason, it was more comfortable to go in the second chariot than this first chariot. What happened? He died. And when he died, Yirmiyahu mourned over his death. And it says in the Pasuk, the Shodim v'Hasharos. From here on in Pasuk of Hey, Vayikoinin, Yirmiyahu, Yoshiyahu, Vayomu, Kol Hasharim v'Hasharos, the male singers and the female singers. Hamishoyrim v'Hamishoyrois. Just like a singer, someone who sings for entertainment, for happiness, is called a mishoyer. Kain bidvar kina v'yalala nikra mishoyer. It's unbelievable. It's the same exact word, the same expression. A professional, I don't know, call a eulogizer, but someone that sings these dirges and laments. They were done with a nigun. Ki toichen echalohem bidvar haramas hakol uvehachras haniima, raising the voice and performing and bringing out a melody. The kino sehem ratzolaymar be'es asher koinu kinam kino ma'amru oz. Whenever there was a tragedy, whatever it was, the kino ma'amru oz zichroin misas Yoshiyahu l'koinin gamola. Very interesting. And anytime there's a tragedy, they also mourned over Yoshiyahu. Now we'll discuss that a little bit later on when we come to the Rashi. Va'yitnam l'choik. This was established as a law in Klal Yisrael. Lahazker misas Yoshiyahu b'kinoy sehem. Anytime there was a tragedy and they lamented over their tzara, they also would lament over the death of Yoshiyahu. V'inam kisuvim akinos shel Yoshiyahu al akinos sefer, according to Rashi, sefer echa. And if you want to know all of the mitzudos, and if you want to know all the other good deeds, his other good deeds, v'chasadav hachasadim asher osa. Kikosov b'Torah, and I told you, yes, I don't know what this really means. Very difficult pasuk. Pasuk Chavav is a very difficult pasuk. The Yeser Divrei Yoshiyahu v'chasadav kakosov b'Saras Hashem, as what is written in the Torah of Hashem. I don't really know what that means. Hachasadim asher osa, the chasadim which he did kakosov b'Torah. What? Where does it say in the Torah that he did chasadim? So I guess you will loosely want to translate Torah as a reference to Nevi'im. That's very unusual. Or you want to say the chasadim that he's supposed to do, like the Torah tells you what to do. The chasadim that you are instructed to do is written in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and he fulfilled them. Okay, what are those interpretations? The pasuk says the Yeser Divrei Yoshiyahu v'chasadav kakosuv b'Saras Hashem. How would you translate that pasuk if you did not see the Mitzudas in Rashi? The other words of Yoshiyahu and his kind deeds, kakos.
It says here, but it also says in Shabbat Melachim that Vayase Chesed and it says.
But it doesn't say Kakosuv Batoira. I know that. It says Utz Chasodov and his wars.
So the elaboration of these general terms are in Sifrei Malchus Yisrael.
I know, but what does it mean Batoira? That's not, we never had this before. Kakosuv Besoira Sashem. That's what bothers me. Maybe for us, in our vernacular, the way we write in the Gemara, but in Tanakh.
Yes.
In Tanakh, you don't usually have the word Torah. Is very specific. Torah means either Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It means instruction. It's not a term that you generally find a reference to Sifrei Nevi'im or a Chronicle. Some David Hayam. Yeah.
No.
It's a very so. The only other thing we've not for looking at the mitzvot is to say kakosubitor means as he was instructed to do in the Torah. The Torah directs man what to do. It's an instruction. He was faithful to the Torah. He did chesed. He did what he was supposed to do. Okay, but that's not. Maybe that's what it means. Okay. That concludes the mitzvot. Now let's go back and see the Rashi. There's some very nice Rashis. Some very famous Rashis. If you ever go to an Asifa. Now, Seifa, on Tisha B'Av, someone will quote some of the Rashis that are mentioned here. So let's take a look, go back to Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Chof. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Chof in the Rashi. Acharei kol zos ha-shehichin yoshio es-habayis ola mecho melech Mitzrayim. Ha-pasik koivel u-mekoinin al. Now, this is a very powerful Rashi. The Pasuk here is koivel, is complaining. Okay, this expression was unique to the, again, this is not really Rashi, this is Perish HaMeyuchas to Rashi. It's attributed to Rashi, but we really do not know who wrote this Perish. And we have this expression many times in Divrei Yom. The Pasuk is complaining. It's complaining that Koivel u'mekoinen al Yoshiyahu sheloi naselo neis kemo l'chizkiyahu. A miracle did not happen for him like happened to Chizkiyahu. Shekosu bo achar hadvarim. Something very similar was written about Chizkiyahu. Achare hadvarim v'ha'emes bo sancheriv al Chizkiyahu v'naselo neis. What happened? Let's go back. There's a very powerful, the very strong parallel between Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Both of them followed after a very evil king. Chizkiyahu came in the wake of Ahaz. Ahaz brought enormous harm to Klal Yisrael. Yoshiyahu came after Menashe and Amon. Both of them rejected their past, rejected their father and grandfather, their past, and they cleansed Klal Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. They went out on a campaign. Both of them brought Klal Yisrael together to offer a Karban Pesach, a communal Karban Pesach. Both of them embraced not just the Malchus of Yehuda, they tried to recruit the Malchus of Yisrael. Both Chizkiyahu, he sent messengers to the remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim to bring them under his Malchus and to make peace with them. They should come back and serve Hashem. And the same thing is true for Yoshiyahu. He was Yirmiyahu, he brought back whatever he could from the Aseres HaShvatim, and Yoshiyahu was Melech upon them. They were both very similar, they were both extremely righteous. By both of them, it says they never offered such a carbon Pesach since time immemorial, and it has to be understood the difference between the two. Yet, what happened right after this their success? They were faced with a tzara. Chizkiyahu was faced with the tzara of Chizkiyahu of Sancheriv. Sancheriv came to destroy Yerushalayim, and Yoshiyahu was faced with the tzara of Paro Nechol. Chizkiyahu prevailed. Miracle happened. He sat back and did nothing, and all of the soldiers died. The 180,000 soldiers just perished in the middle of the night of Pesach. Whereas Yoshiyahu, when Paro Necho came to battle, he died. He was killed in battle. So the Pasuk is complaining, even though they were both very similar. And perhaps you would say to some degree that Yoshiyahu was even greater than Chizkiyahu. Maybe you can even say that. There are definitely indications that Yoshiyahu was even greater than Chizkiyahu. Yet, his greatness did not prevent him from dying at the hands of Paro Necho. He was not zoche to this miracle. Yeah.
What's the issue?
Okay, because you're saying that because he made a mistake. Okay, so that's a good point. That's a very good point. But Rashi doesn't seem.
What was his mistake?
Paro Necho wanted to pass through the land to wage war against Melech Ashur and Karkamish. And Yoshiyahu said, it says in the Torah, "Cherev lo yavar bi'artzachem." A sword will not pass through the land. Afilu cherev shel shalom. And he told him, "You're not coming through the land." And he said, "I am coming." And he tried to come, and he prevented him, and he was killed in battle. So you're saying he forced the Yeshua, he made a mistake. That is true. Now, that's a very good point. Now, however, Rashi seems, it's very interesting. Rashi, the question, the way Rashi presents the question is so powerful. Rashi says that's not so. There is some indication that Yoshiyahu was right. Now, I didn't see a full treatment of this topic, but I did see a little just glanced at the Mishpat says, Zav and Sefer Melachim, and he does present there the idea that really Yoshiyahu was right. Okay, there is such an approach. Why was he right? Especially if we learn that not like Rashi with Mitzudos, that Elohim means in the name of Hashem. Where we just finished learning the Mitzudos. And the Mitzudos said probably at least 3 or 4 times that when Yipar Nucho said, I'm coming to the land, don't prevent me, because I'm coming in the name of Elohim. Elohim is Kodesh. Yirmiyahu told me that in the name of Hashem, I'm allowed to march through your land. I'm allowed to march. Hashem wants me to fight against Melech Asher. That's not necessarily true. According to one opinion of the Gemara, Elohim means in the name of his God. And once he mentioned that I'm coming to fight, I have permission to pass through your land in the name of my deity, my God, it became a Chilul Hashem. It may well be that he should not have provoked him, he should not have started up with him. But once already, Paro Necho said that I'm going to march through the land in the name of an Avodah Zarah, and this was headlines. This was headlines on all sites, all of blogs. This was his announcement. It now became a Mulchemes Hashem. It became a tremendous Chil Hashem. The king of Yehuda said, I don't want you to pass through my land. I ask you not to do so. And he said, why? I have a God. And my God, Avodah Zarah, is more powerful than your God. And he says, I should go through the land. At this point in time, he had no choice. Yoshiyahu was Mechuyev to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Yeah?
There's no indication of consultation with the VM or anything else that...
Well, all of this is hidden...
Decision.
Well, all of this, there's a lot of details that are missing. You're right. We don't know exactly what happened, but the entire story takes on an entirely different meaning if you learn Elohim to mean Avodah Zarah. If you learn it means Hashem, then you're right. Dr. Frost is making a very good point. You're making a very good point. Rabbi Michal, you're making a very good point that he brought it upon himself. So how can Rashi here be koivel, complaining a miracle didn't happen like to Chizkio? Chizkio was not his fault. Sancheriv came to show. Here he's bringing it upon himself. But if you learn, again, he mentions Elohim so many times, 3-4 times in the Pasuk, that it's Avodah Zarah, my God said to do this, Avodah Zarah, then already it's a Mulchemes Hashem.
You look at the pasuk, you book of Lamed Beis, and it starts exactly the same nusach, Acharei HaDvarim, which Rashi quotes.
Right, that's what he's quoting.
And right away, Vayah Yechezkiel, and this, Vayah Yevayetz Im Sarav V'Gvayra.
He took it. There's no consultation.
There
was no consultation.
This is exactly
okay. That's so he's saying that's
it
part.
It might be a Kiddush Hashem, but the Kiddush Hashem was b'di'evet once he went out to fight with him.
Okay, so those are definitely answers. You have to.
Also stood in the town. He didn't go out. He built up defensive positions.
And, right.
And what was his name? Sancherib started, took his Malshinim and they started trying to convince the people, but he had a defensive position.
Right.
And that was a.
He did his shtadlus.
It was also maybe a better tactic instead of
going out to greet him.
Yeah.
Okay, so have this point
this
in mind.
Is hard to go from Yerushalayim.
You're right. There were mistakes made. Okay, absolutely, but there were definitely mistakes. We have to analyze what was, but if we take into consideration that Elohim does not mean, that's just the point I want to make, it does not mean Hashem, it means Avodah Zarah, it's a Mulchemes Hashem, it's Avodah Zarah. Okay, the Mishmas Zav, he presents this thesis.
With a verbal response rather than a
war.
Military response.
Okay, I don't know here. Okay, now the other, so why wasn't he Zohar, what was the reason? So the reason given, I saw this in a few places, why was wasn't he successful? Let's put aside the question. The question is an excellent question. But let's put aside that there was a tzara and the tzara came upon him. Why, after everything was said and done, was he not zeche to a nes? There was one major difference between Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, and that is Chizkiyahu had the zechus of Torah. Noatz cherev in the Beis Medrash, on the top of the Beis Medrash, that anyone that does not come and study Torah, yidokar becheref, bodku midon viad be'ershev, loy motzu tinuk v'tinoikets, isha v'ish, it says. The whole Bacham Chazal, people just stop short, tinuk v'tinoikets. It says in Chazal, isha, ish v'isha, a man and a woman, that was not a baki in the most difficult sections of the Torah. When you have the zechus of Torah, then it's a different ballgame. Chizkiyahu had that. Chizkiyahu, that was his legacy, the Ahavas Torah. Yoshiyahu was a great tzaddik, but he did not have, that was not part of his arsenal, the zechus of Torah, Talmud Torah Derabim. And therefore, that contributes to the factor why he was not successful, the miracle did not happen. But it's a very powerful Rashi, he's making this comparison. And the miracle happened. Where was the battle? The battle, his intent was to go to Carchemish, which was by the Euphrates. Al Melech Ashur, the Sivit says, V'rotza la'avor derech Eretz Yisrael, Olav, Uparo Necho, he wanted to pass through, it says in Malachim, he wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael, the derech of Eretz Yisrael, Uparo Necho, lo ho'yokho lovo ilav derech nahar pros, Im lo yavar derech Eretz Yisrael, there was no way he can go through Pros unless he goes through Eretz Yisrael. You couldn't go through the south because the south is desert. Okay, it's Saudi Arabia. It's pure desert. There's no way you can travel there to go to Ashur by going around Eretz Yisrael. You have to go through. The only way you can go through, you have to go through Eretz Yisrael. Lovely love derech nahar Pros. Im lo yavar derech Eretz Yisrael. Sharei Mitzrayim, the shortest route. But not only the shortest route, it was not possible to travel any other way. There's no. You need food. You need water. You need things for the animals to eat. Derech Eretz Yisrael, Sharei Mitzrayim, the drum shel Eretz Yisrael, and har pros, but Svoina shel Eretz Yisrael. Vayetze likroso. Why did he go out? Shedarash v'cherev loisavar biartzchem afilu cherev shel shalom loisavar biartzchem loyoda. He did not know chet leitzonei hador. Okay, the late sunny. What's the late sunny? Hador means a faker. Late. I always tell you that. What's been a late and a choynef. There's two different words which are opposites, antonyms. A leitz is someone that takes a dover choshuv and he makes nothing out of it. You take the most choshuv thing and you make a joke, it's worthless. A mechonef, a flatterer is someone who takes a narishkeit, a shtus, hevel, and you elevate it, this is important. A celebrity in the goyish world, an actor, this, they're like, they're God. And Talmidei Chachamim, what are they? They warm the bench. So that's mamish an example. Talmid Chacham is a real Talmid Chacham is choshev. And to say something negative about a Talmid Chacham, that's not right. To go take someone who's not choshev and to elevate him to a high level, to make him important, that's called a mechanif, a flatterer. So here it's very interesting. We're calling over here this part of the kingdom. He's really drawing from the kingdom of the late. This is what it says in the kingdom, he's not of the late Sonei Hadar. It's a very frightening expression. Why did Rabbi Elazar HaKali, I believe it was Rabbi Elazar HaKali who wrote that kina, why did he choose to describe the sinners of the generation as the late Sonei Hadar? What was specifically their sin? They were fakers. In public, they were tzaddikim, but in private, where no one can catch them, they were oivdei avodah zara. When the inspectors came to check their house avodah zara, they could not find anyone. When the two doors would close, the two ends of the avodah zara would match. Where the doors would close, the two ends of avodah zara would come together, and there would be a secret avodah zara. That, for whatever reason, is an example of a leitz, a person that is belittles things that are choshev by secretly undermining you behind your back. Behind the door, kamu listar, they rose up to arrange to be mesader their avodah zara by closing the doors. K'mosh mefurish b'masechta Tainis. Okay, so here we have a new interpretation. I told you, where's the Lord of the Mitzudos? The Mitzudos emphasize who told Parunucho fight? Yirmiyah. Then I told the Gemara in Tainus says, no, Elohim doesn't, it's not Kodesh, it's Chol, Avodah Zarah. But here he says it was not Yirmiyah, it was Yeshaya who died long, long ago, Yeshaya predicted, ki aki kenama Yeshaya visachti mitzrayim b'mitzrayim, means to confuse, like intertwingle, to confuse, to be a civil war in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is going to crumble under itself. Many people quoted this pasuk recently when all the riots and the whole regime change in Mitzrayim in Egypt in the last couple of years, all the unrest. So many people were quoting that all this was predicted in Yeshaya. V'sochachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. So there are many interpretations of what that pasuk means. There are many interpretations. Pasha says it means there's going to be a civil war in Egypt. But Rashi here seems to be saying. Okay, I'm not really sure how Rashi is interpreting that. I don't really know how he interprets this in reference to this war. But this.
Well, that's because they rose up. Where do you want to go? You wanted to go
to Ashur.
To Ashur, right? Yeah, but what that land was originally Mitzrayim.
This was Mitzrayim, right? So it was taken away. Was taken away by Ashur.
Turmoil in terms of Mitzrayim's ownership.
Okay, could be fine. There's turmoil. Their own assets. Their own assets are under attack, and they went to wait. They went to retrieve what they felt belonged to them. What used to belong to them.
Ownership. You know, these things go back and forth. It's not contiguous. But they
were paying homage to them.
Yeah.
And now they're losing their revenue. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly, but I didn't get a chance to look it up. But you have to study Sefer Yeshaya, this pasuk. The simple interpretation is there's going to be a civil war. Rashi has another interpretation that there's going to be an uprising. There's going to be unrest in Mitzrayim where they're going to want to desire to retake their land, Karakamish, and that's what was predicted by Yeshaya. Yeshaya was no longer alive for many years. However, Paru Necho had this tradition in the name of Yeshaya. The only thing we learn from that, very interesting, is that the prophets, this is a very important thing which we don't appreciate. We lose focus that the prophets were not really only for Klal Yisrael. The prophets were for the entire world. We live in a very isolated, we live in a ghetto life. We think we're very open-minded, right? We live in an open world, and we're worldly, and we have we're very well connected. But when we think of the Nevi'im, I think the average person thinks the Goyim, they don't know from Isaiah. What do they know? You see on the bus, Isaiah 60. What does it say? What do they know? They know a few psukim. They totally misinterpret the psukim. They don't really have any clue of what it says. And the Nevi'im, we're sophisticated people. We go to shul. We read the Haftarah.
We know nothing like they know nothing. Seriously.
They don't know. That's not so. They don't. Their knowledge of Navi is corrupt. If they even know it,
yeah.
How many people know? How many people? There are a few scholars. They have a course in college, the church, the Vatican. They study, but they're okay. But in the time of Chazal, the time of Yeshaya, who is Yeshaya talking to? Yeshaya's audience were the Goyim. In fact, sometimes the Nevi'im, they were more popular by the Goyim than they were by Klal Yisrael. And if you study Yeshaya very clearly, Melech HaMashiach, his primary role, Rav Schwab writes about this, we think Melech HaMashiach, everyone's like, Achach LeBechol Yom Shava, Melech HaMashiach, Klal Yisrael, Yeshaya, is going to be for the world. He's not going to even bother with us, with Klal Yisrael, he will bother, but because Klal Yisrael pretty much just needs a little guidance, a little bit, we're good enough. The Goyim, they need a lot of help. The Melech HaMashiach is going to spend most of his time dealing with the Umos HaOlam, and for us, he'll give us a couple of minutes just to get us on the right track. So here you have Paro Necho. Paro Necho, this is the world at the time, this was the world power. It was a shift between, well, Ashur was already falling. Ashur at this point in time, after Sancheriv collapsed, during the time of Chizkiyah, was no longer the world power. It shifted now to some degree to Mitzrayim. And Bavel was building up very steadily, and yet who's the big baki, the big mumche in the Nevuah of Yeshaya, according to Rashi? Paro, the president of the United States. He's the big mumche in Sefer Yeshaya, and he's giving Musar to Yoshiyahu. I know how to learn Pshat and the Pasuk better than you, and he was right. And he was taka right. And that's why Yoshiyahu died. It's a whole different look of how the world looked at the prophets. I remember Yeshaya was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshaya was in a league by himself. Yeshaya was not the same level as all the other Nevi'im. He was a whole different league. He was talking to the world when he spoke. And Paro Necho took him very seriously. And he says, listen, Yeshaya said I should go to battle. He died, whatever, 50 years, 100 years ago. I'm going to go to battle. Don't get in my way.
Yeshaya is probably more quoted by Goyim than...
Yeah, that's exactly the point I want to say. Today, you ask the average Yeshiva...
A universal message.
Right, okay. But today, if you ask the average Yeshiva book about Yeshaya, they'll tell you, the Goyim, what do they know about Yeshaya? Okay, but the attitude is, it's private property. It's private property. But it's not true. The Nevi'im were for the world. Okay, v'so chaschati Mitzrayim, I'm going to cause an uprising in Egypt, some unrest. They're going to want to attack v'zishyos ha-kalir, and this with the kalir, kol hamoinav l'lecha saram naharayim, all of his multitudes. Hamoinav means he galvanized his soldiers, his battalions, his army, to go and fight l'lechas to Aram Naharayim, to go to Aram Naharayim. That's where the battle, he wanted to travel to Aram Naharayim. That's a very interesting that we're calling Karkemish Ashur by the Pras. It's also known as Aram Naharayim. What was Aram Naharayim?
Avraham.
That's where he came from. So there must be some symbolism in this. Leman lo savu cherev kol shu bi Ephraim. Why did he gather? Now, kol hamoinev l'leches Aram Naharayim. Now that seemingly is referring to Melech, the Paro Necho. But then the Kalir switches, Leman Lo Sava, the reason why there was a battle, why was this battle all about? Leman Lo Sava Chev Kol Shu B'Ephraim, because Ephraim refers to the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim is Ephraim. Ephraim is just another reference, another way to describe Klal Yisrael. He did not want a sword to pass through the land of Eretz Yisrael. Lo Shama Lo Choyze, he did not listen to the Choyze, to the seer. The Yashav Acharayim, so according to the Kalir, we're saying Elokim, Elokim is Koli, which refers, according to Rashi, to Yeshaya. He was the Choze, which says indeed that Egypt will be agitated, and they will be unrest, they will want to go to war. The Yashav Acharayim, Ki Nigzera Gezera, so actually in that Kalir, the Kino, we have to look up that Kino, Ki Gezera Le Sachsech Mitzrayim B'Mitzrayim. It was preordained. It was preordained that there would be this unrest in Egypt to go to battle against Karkemish, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim. It could very well be what means Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means that Karkemish was also called Mitzrayim. So there's one battle against Karkemish used to belong to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim be Mitzrayim. Its only problem is now there's part of Mitzrayim that's rebelling against each other. That there's a civil war. If you look, okay, why did he want to go conquer Karkemish? Because Karkemish was rebelling.
Right.
Karkemish was part of Mitzrayim.
So instead of letting him go have a civil war, he stuck his nose in the middle.
Right. It was a civil war. We're considering Karkemish. There's a Sachsech Mitzrayim. He stuck. He wanted to prevent the civil war from taking place. And that's why this terrible tragedy happened. So according to the Kalir learns that the Choze here is Yeshaya, not like the Mitzvah. The Choze was Yirmiyah. Okay, next. Al Rechav HaMishre, he was injured. He was attacked. 300 arrows. Now, 300 is a good one. We know that they know in the Aleph base, the letter, there are two letters that come at the end. They're Shin and Tov. According to in Chazal, every time there's a hyperbole, a guzma, it's always the number 300. Why? Because 300 is the last letter in the Aleph base of Gashmias. The letter Tov is a letter of Ruchnias. It's MS. It's the last letter of MS. So you don't find the Chazal. Sometimes Chazal say 400, and sometimes 300. Like you have by Avraham Avinu, you have by Esav. Esav came to Yaakov. The Arba Meos Ish Imo. Why there is it 400? It was a religious war. Anytime you have a matter of a guzma, or you want to make an emphasis on something that's religious, then you focus on the number 400. Anytime you want to make an emphasis on something which is gashmius, it's 300.
Whose theory is that?
Oh, I heard this from our mayor, Avraham Shur.
It's not original. It was taken.
Of course, no. He says
moral, huh?
Not morale. That's not. I don't think it's morale. It's a chassidish. What? Right.
But the morale talks about the number.
Like, okay, so it's a significant. It's a significant thing that 300. So here it says. It says in the medrash 300 hours. Now that's a little bit different with him because you expect that based what I told you. Like let's see, go back to what I told you before. Elokim is kodesh, and the pasuk is complaining. Why didn't Hashem do a miracle for Yoshio the same way he did a miracle for Chizkiyah? So I told you, Elokim, it was a religious war. If it was a religious war, he had no choice, he had to go fight. Mulchemes Hashem. So then you would expect the arrows to be 400 arrows, which would represent a concept of a religious war, just like Esav went out to greet Yaakov with Arba Meos Ish Ima. But that's not what it says. It says it was 300. You want to say it's 300, it was nothing more than a tragedy that was not of any religious significance. 300 arrows is just a materialistic number, which idea, which means the most possible. Okay.
Interesting theory. I don't know how consistent
it would
be.
Okay, so keep it in mind. This idea, and that means he was utterly defeated. That's one thing is for sure. Whatever you want to say, it's Ruchni Sagashmi, it's the fact that it says 300 means it was a complete, utter defeat. There was nothing to salvage. Okay, so al rechav mishnah. What does it mean rechav mishnah? Lefi shaderech hamelach lirkov al shnei merkavos on two different chariots. So rishon ikar, the first is the ikar. V'im yitzdarech yeshem b'shnei b'rishon yetze lifneihem. He went out in the first chariot. Uchshechala hirkivu al harechav hamishnah. They brought him into the second chariot, the second day, which was more comfortable. Pasuk chaf hey. Rashi.
Can I mention about Megiddo?
Megiddo, Armageddon.
Yeah, you know that Megiddo. I haven't taken the tour, but obviously, you know, it was a major battle site, and my father, who's an expert in various languages, and I discussed this once. What's the term Armageddon in Greek? And we believe that it derives from Megiddo.
Yeah.
As the Battle of Megiddo. And in fact, there is one place in Tanakh, in Zechariah, where Megiddo is referred to as Megiddon. Mm. So that's an even stronger indication of that the word Armageddon is derived from Megiddon.
Very interesting. Okay, Pasuk Chav Hei. Vayomru Kol Hasadim Loshon Now. He died. He was killed. And now they eulogize. So here we have the same idea as the Mitzudos, the Sarim. Loshon Shira. Mishayrim Ki Gam Shira Vikina B'Kol Achas Ne'mar. Like the Mitzudos, that song and lament are expressed in the same form, the same tone. Kol Achas Ne'marim. Olav, period. Olav Niba Amos. Okay, upon the death of Yoshiyahu, did Amos give prophecy? Vehevesi es Hashemesh betzarayim. I'm going to cause the sun to set at midday. Vehechshachti laaretz biyom or. I'm going to bring darkness to the earth on the day of light. What does that pasuk in Amos refer to? Ze yoimo shel Yoshiyahu shemes ben tisho shloshim shalom. He died 39 years old. B'chatzi yamav. Halfway through his life, approximately 35-70 years, Bechatziyamov, Tchsiv, Yimei, Shinoi Senbuhem Shiv Shana, Tchsiv, another pasuk, V'afakti, Chagechem Le'eva, I'm going to transform your festival to mourning, V'chol Shirechem Lekina, all of your songs will be transformed into laments, V'shantia, and with Samtia Ke'evel Yachid, I'm going to make like a singular mourning, a very deep, unique, one of a kind mourning. V'achadisa kiyomar, and the end will be a day of bitterness. That's referring to the death of Yoshio. V'zehu sh'amar v'yomu kol ha'sharim. That's what it is in the pasuk. Yomu kol ha'sharim v'hasharos. V'kino esem, v'chol Yehuda v'yishlaim be'asav l'malav. Everyone in the entire Klal Yisrael, Yehuda v'yishlaim, mourned upon the death of Yoshio, who died a young man. He died in his prime, at the time when he was on the way of restoring Klal Yisrael to its former glory. At any time when they're in the history of Klal Yisrael, there is tsar, tragedy, or cry, and that event, so it became the law. it became a requirement. Hey, maskidim zehat sar imo. This sar must be recorded with it. Dugma the Tishabav. Here is the famous Rashi. Everyone quotes this Rashi on Tishabav. Dugma the Tishabav. Shemaskidim kinois al hahorgim begzeres sheiru biyameinu. This refers to the Crusades. Okay, just like on Tisha B'Av, Rashi is referring to his time. Rashi was 56 years old at the time of the first crusade. In the year 1096, mm-hmm. at the time of the first crusade, Rashi was not affected directly. Rashi was at that time in France. He was not directly affected, but of course he knew about it. And he was 56 years old, and from that point
it
in time...
started in France. The first crusade started from France.
So where was Rashi? Speyer, Mainz, Argentz. So that's what they marched down, and they came up later. But Rashi was not directly affected at that time, and he... But after that point in time, Rashi, how old was when he died, Rashi? Rashi was... 65, I think, right?
He died in 1105, yes. He was 65.
65 years old. So Rashi was 56 years old. So he had 9 years left. So for the remaining 9 years of his life, and it's not clear where Rashi really wrote this. Because if Rashi wrote this, he would have written this in the last 9 years of his life. Possible, but it's not really Rashi. Whoever wrote it, so it's during the time of the Rishayim, the Crusades. So it's just like on Tisha B'Av, we don't only mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. We mourn over all tragedies. We mourn over the Crusades, all the people who died, the Rishonim who died in the time of the Crusades. So too, any time in the past, after the Bayis Rishon, when there was a tragedy, not only would they mourn over the tragedy, they would also mourn over the death of Yoshiyahu. So
it's given. Does it really sound like something Rashi would say?
Rashi wrote a lot of things, and Rashi, there are many editions of Rashi. Rashi, you know, Rashi over his life, like any person, you develop, and your style changes, and there's a different method of writing for different types of things. Rashi's style in the Gemara is very different than his style in Chumash.
Granted, but having said that.
It's generally accepted that Rashi did not write the Perush on Divrei Hayamim. It's accepted. So who wrote it? Did someone have access to a manuscript that Rashi started and expanded?
I just find the terminology.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of terminology. This pasuk is mekainein. All these expressions. Pisroin. Rashi's pisroin. The interpretation is as follows. All right. I'm not sure. Dugma v'tisha b'av shemaskidim kinos al harugim b'gzero she'iru b'yomenu. Just like on Tisha B'av, when we mourn a little bit, and this we mourn over the Crusades. Kain yivkiyun al mois Yoshiyahu. So to any time there is a tragedy in Klal Yisrael, we also add to that tragedy the death of Yoshiyahu. Dugma, like it says, by Yiftach's daughter. Fatihi chog b'Yisrael v'goymer lisanos, to wail, to mourn, to cry, levas yiftach hagiladi arba'a yamin bashan. 4 days a year was their custom to mourn over the tragedy that she died, that she was a human sacrifice, or that she was, what?
Which 4 days?
I don't know.
Arba'a
yamin bashan. V'hinam kisuvim b'sal akinois, al sefer akinois. So what is sefer akinois? Seemingly Rashi is learning the sefer referring to Eicha. V'chasadav kakosu b'saris Hashem, k'siv v'chomohu lohoyu l'fonav melech v'zeh shomar kan hanes k'suvim v'zeh shomar kan. Hinam kesuvim al sefer malchei Yisrael v'Yehuda. So similarly, according to Rashi, Besaras Hashem is referring to what it says in Sefer Melachim. He's calling Sefer Melachim the Teras Hashem, which is extremely unusual. Which again, I don't have a good answer for. Now, this idea: why was it a chok? Why indeed was this called a chok? The death of Yoshiyahu is a chok. So there's a very common interpretation to this idea. We all know. Let's talk about the Holocaust, a controversial topic. Is there, after the Holocaust, there was a disagreement among Gedolei Yisrael, should there be a specific day to commemorate the tragedy of the Holocaust? And there are many indications from Rishonim there should be. And there are precedents in history that there were Gzeros, I forgot all the details. No, not Tachvatat. Before that.
There were in the past
terrible tragedies where there were days that were commemorated or Chaf Sivan, right? Isn't that Chaf Sivan?
For the children?
What?
For the children?
No, there were pogroms. Chaf Sivan. There were pogroms, different pogroms, and they were commemorated. They were communal. Now, so that seems to be an indication that you, Rahman will say, there's a tragedy. There should be a day set aside for the community to forever remember the tragedy and fast. So, why should the Holocaust be any different? So, indeed, there were different opinions. A very heated debate among different Gedolei Yisrael. Should there be a day to commemorate? If there would be a day to commemorate, what would be the day to commemorate? Should there be? It certainly was not planned to be in the middle of a. In middle Yom HaShoah is very, they wanted to make it on Pesach. They wanted to make the day of commemoration the first day of Pesach, which is not, obviously that's not a religious Jew would not make that.
This became part of the discussion because they jumped in first.
Right. It's a very complex issue, and But one of the reasons which seemed to prevail among B'nai Torah is they didn't. They pretty much did not make a day, and they let it remain on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was the day to commemorate all tragedy, but we have precedent that it was done for other things. So their answer is those other things were not for the entire class, but were only for communities. Chav Sivan was only for certain communities, was not for the entire class. So today it's a big melting pot, so we don't understand the difference between a community and not a community. I don't know all the details, it's very complicated, it's way over my head. But the common answer given is that Tisha B'Av is a day to commemorate, even if you do have a day to commemorate a tragedy, everyone also agrees that on Tisha B'Av you also should commemorate the tragedy. You have another day to commemorate the tragedies. Why is that so? Why is Tisha B'Av a day that you should also focus on every tragedy in Klal Yisrael, even if you have another special day to commemorate? So the answer given is because the root of all tzara is Churban, is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Golos, the fact that the Shechina has been taken away from us, brings in its wake all different types of tzara. So it may be good to have a special day to commemorate, but it doesn't take away from the fact that when you focus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you have to focus on, that is the sherish of all tzara. What is this? Now we have to go a step deeper. What is the sherish, the root of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? The building? It's Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu's death was pretty much the beginning, the sherish of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's going a step deeper. So when you focus on Tzara, whenever there's a commemoration of Tzara, where does the Tzara come from? The Churban Beis HaMikdash. What? We're focusing on a building? Is that what it's all about? It's all about buildings. It's about people. It's about tzaddikim. It's about people that can make a difference, that can bring the Shechina. Yoshiyahu was doing everything he possibly could to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash would remain. He removed the Avodah Zarah. He brought Klal Yisrael together to worship, to bring Korban Pesach. His death was the beginning of the end. It is the shoresh of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it's appropriate to focus on his death whenever there's a tzara, even more so than focusing on the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
But that's not how it turns out.
Could be when you say Malkin and Asam Eschem, it took Shara Vedetim Yishalayim. That's what you're saying. Like you're saying, the Shara Vedetim Yishalayim, which is Yoshiyahu.
Why is that Yoshiyahu?
Because it's the beginning of the Churban.
But you don't really say it outright.
You're saying the Avelitzim. We were Avelitzim.
No one says that. You don't hear that. You talk about Klal, we're in Golos. You talk about Klal Yisrael, we're in Golos. We focus on the Beis HaMikdash. But the Shoresh of the Churban was his death. Chazal say that when he died, it was meant to be Bo Bayom. With his death, the Churban, the Mikdash should have been destroyed on that very day.
Did he die?
I don't know Maybe what? I don't know. That was meant to be. That was meant to be the Korban Beis Mishkan. Really, Huldah Hanavia told him that it's over.
Right.
When he became king, he says, "This Beis Hamikdash that you have here in front of you is a shell. There's nothing here. It's just a nice building. There's no kedusha. There's no ruchnius. Amon, Menashe, Ochaz, they finished you off already." So he began to prepare. He put the Aron in Geniza. He tried the best he could do. He told the Kohanim and Levim that your mission is going to be changed. You're not going to carry the Aron anymore. You read into the psukim by Yachinu, but he probably was hoping a glimmer of maybe we can still do something, maybe we can turn the tide, we can still save the Beis HaMikdash. With his death, it was sealed. It was sealed in blood. It's over. And it should have been destroyed. Why was it not destroyed? Chazal Hashem gave a bonus of 22 years because they properly eulogized, they mourned over his death. So that was just a delay. Like Mr. Shelach, Hashem held back the model 7 days because they mourned for Mr. Shelach. But the world should have been destroyed already 7 days before. This is the Korban Beis HaMikdash. And just like we can understand that every tzara is rooted in Golus, in the Korban, the Shorish of Korban is not the building, it's the death of Yoshiyahu. And that's the deeper meaning of L'chok Ad Hayom Hazeh.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a day,
I
don't have my calendar here, I know that I see it every year. It's a certain Erev Shabbos, which was accepted right after the war as a Yom Tzom or Yom...
The Holocaust?
For the children.
Uh-huh. Really? I never heard this.
I'll look it up. I have it in my film there. But there's a certain day that was accepted. No one argued about it. Then they forgot about it.
The one who makes a very powerful presentation, her very powerful presentation, today it's become more... I think to gain more traction, currency, is from Rav J.J. Shachter, Rav Yaakov Shachter, to observe Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht as a commemoration of the Holocaust. Because Chazal say, why do we observe Tisha B'Av, not the 10th day of 10th day? Because Aschalto de Paranusa, the beginning of Chazal focus on the beginning. Most historians agree that the beginning, from history perspective of history, the beginning of the Holocaust began with Kristallnacht. And it didn't happen. Kristallnacht wasn't the. You obviously find different points in time, but a major watershed in what started the whole. He told me he saw Hitler. Saw Hitler, and he saw the Chofetz Chaim. He saw the Chofetz Chaim, and Rachman Lusan also. He saw Hitler.
My father saw
him
too.
So there is something to it, and Rabbi J.J. Shachter, he's very powerful, and he goes through all the makoros of Schalte Paranusa in the historical perspective of what exactly is Kristallnacht and how it was different than any event that led up before and after, and had he been present at the conference when they were debating when should be the day to commemorate, he felt a pihalacha. That is a very
until the '60s.
Yeah,
they didn't have these kinnis. I mean,
it's not just
you
that.
Have the kinnis printed in the back of the art scroll. They had a booklet.
Yeah,
which started off from.
Well, they weren't written until much later.
Yes. Well, they were written earlier, but they only
they weren't accepted.
They were not accepted until
they're still not accepted by some places.
Right,
a lot of them skipped them.
What happened was, in the '60s, there was. Hungarians who were active in Aguda, who had gone through this, who decided we're going to push for it. It doesn't make sense because they lived it through it and they were still living through it. And they pushed it and they pushed it, and at first they put out a booklet. At first it was a little booklet.
Yeah.
It was not officially put out with any Aguda name to it.
No,
they put the Bobovas in it. It was a booklet.
Bobova Weissmandel.
Right, they put a couple in a booklet, and then eventually it was incorporated into it.
Shimon Schwab, I think.
It was like a bottoms up.
I have it on.
Shimon Schwab, the Bobova Rebbe wrote, is a very popular kina, and Shimon Schwab wrote a popular kina. I have a book that has like 30 kinas from all different Gedolim who wrote kinas. I think Rabbi Weinreb, if I'm not mistaken, if Herschel Wein, is that his name? Weinreb from the OU?
Uh-huh.
So he does a very popular kinas on the Tisha B'Av. I think every year he does a different. Every year for the Holocaust, he selects a different one they didn't do before, and he reads it and explains it.
He also takes current events.
Right, yeah, that's a stall. Besides. Yeah.
Rabbi Grinblatt, who recently passed away, in his book, writes that the Aquinas world, the Yeshiva world, didn't address the Holocaust in any meaningful way until Rav Huttner wrote an article in one of the earlier, sometime in the mid 70s, wrote an article about in the Jewish Observer, making an attempt to address it. And see,
I know there's a lot of criticism.
I know. Talk about.
You couldn't deal with it.
Right, and that's why in that others stepped in, and there was all this controversy.
Well, I've heard this, and I know from my own family, people who lived through it were so traumatized. You couldn't deal with it. It took years until you can. I know I had my grandfather's brother. He lived through the worst horrors. Never said a word until he died. Even after, never said a word. And many people who lived through it, they could not deal with it, and that unfortunately carried over to not commemorating it and memorializing the tragedy until years later. And by that time already, there was a new generation which didn't have the same sensitivity, the same need, and it was.
You brought something, you know, the Hungarian Jewry. It started on the Seder night. Eichmann organized it, that on the Seder night they started taking people out of the house.
Yeah.
So they left all the table was set. And they left it. So you're saying Seder? I don't think there's a single Hungarian
that doesn't
at the pace of is right. Talking more about the
yeah, but to make okay, you're right. Okay, so there is something to it then. Okay, I take it back.
You're absolutely right, and this is a problem again. We're getting into politics that when the recruitment don't step in, so someone else takes the vote. If the Yidden didn't decide to vote or to fight in 48, they did fight in the war. And they were involved in the Yerushalayim and the Lechi, yet from people...
That was one of the big... What you're arguing was one of the biggest arguments for Artskol. We take it for granted today. We have Artskol, Masifta, and Lublin, and every Shas you can imagine. When Artskol they wrote... When the Yeshiva world tried to translate the Talmud, there were many people, I'm sure you remember, that were against it.
Right.
And what was the argument which won the day? If you're not going to do it, someone else is going to do it. And if they're going to do it, it's not going to be good. They're going to do it, they're going to have their own agenda.
Today is the answer of Rabbi Chaim Zonnefeld.
Yeah.
He admitted somewhere that his biggest mistake was to go and fight for Yiddish. They started started a Hebrew school in Eretz in Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yeshiva Yashan was against it. That's how the curse is. You don't know Hebrew. We teach you by Yaimat Gazot Maisha
in Yiddish.
So that was, he admitted, it was his biggest mistake. Because
it's a new generation, it's a new world. It's a new world. Okay, but just to conclude, I assume many of you have been by the Siyam HaShas, the last Siyam HaShas. One of the things that the Aguda did when they were later criticized for not devoting enough attention to the Holocaust is they decided we're going to dedicate the Siyam HaShas to the Kedoshim. So that probably started years ago when the Siyam HaShas was no big deal, when it was just in a small gathering. Over time, it picked up. The last Siyam HaShas, if you paid attention, how they handled the Holocaust was beautiful. It was absolutely five-star.
They screwed it up.
How?
They put the Yiddish Satmar and
Butler
in front of Rabbi Lau, and they put
no,
Rabbi
that was
in. That was a
But they had, you saw what they did with the children, with the Mishnayos, the entire program, and they came, they marched, and they learned. They made it a very central theme. You cannot walk out of that without in your mind a very strong emphasis on the commemorate the Kedoshim. That's something that you got to give them credit for.
Right.
That's a very
Zikron Kedoshim, which is like a Yad Vashem, a Haredi Yad Vashem.
Okay, so we're up to Perek Lamed Vav, so we'll pick this up on Friday. Don't forget, tomorrow we have a special treat. Rabbeinu Shmuel is going to Doirei Shperavim.